Hello, everyone. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. And today in the studio, I got my good friend, Shane Qualls. Shane has been a coach at a couple different places, and we'll talk about that. Been a referee. Really want to hear a lot about that. That's a tough job nowadays and getting a little tougher in the environments that you walk into, whether it be a football field, basketball, really whatever nowadays. So really want to touch on that, but talk really about the life and times of Shane Qualls here today. Shane, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Been talking to you for a bit now. We both train. I guess I'd call mine training. I don't know, but workout.
Waste time.
Down at Planet Fitness, and our funnest thing is to sneak up behind each other and pop each other on the back. I did that yesterday, and one time you did, but I scared about knocked me off the treadmill there. But I've enjoyed that relationship down there and getting to hang out with you, know, kind of get to know you. But I've talked to you several times while you're at the gym about coming on the show, and finally was able to get in here with you. So really, really do appreciate you coming onto the show. We're going to learn a lot about you today. So let's start the folks around this area. And, you know, this thing goes out on podcast all over the place. So, you know, you might be world renowned here before long from this show here. But tell me a little bit about growing up. You're a local guy. You've been around this area for a long time. You grew up in Livingston. So tell me a little bit about young Shane Qualls and what it was like growing up in L.A.
Well, actually, I live in Rickman address, and it's about halfway between Livingston and Rickman. I grew up on a farm. I've always either been running in the fields or riding horses, mules. We raise cattle. And so when I was young, you can imagine, 230 acres, I was never still or in the house or anything. But
so can I talk about that?
Yeah.
So today, and I talk about this a lot. You have kids, and we'll introduce them in a second. But are they out running in the fields? Do they have the same opportunities that you did? And if so, do they take advantage of that?
No, I mean they're so much busier now than we ever were. I mean, and with technology and they've all played three sports. They all are in college now. And so, one of them's out of college and working for a college. But they didn't have that free time that we had. We went to school. We came home. I might have helped Dad. We were running wild all day. We come in. There was no social media. I mean, I'll tell a funny story. When I was 8 years old, they used to put me on a tractor, and I couldn't change gears, but they would put me on it, and I knew how to do the pattern to rake hay. Oh, and I would rake the hay one way.
8 years old.
And I would pull the fuel out, and I would walk home. They would come back through from another job, take me back out there, turn the tractor around, and I would rake out. When I got done, I'd just kill the tractor, and I'd walk home. And if you did that in today's world, I mean, but I learned independence and working hard from my dad and my mom.
Man, how times have changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we'd even leave our kids out in that field.
No. And if we did, we'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different time. But, you know, they worked on the farm with me, but not near to the extent that we did, because they were doing so many other things, from ball year round. And of course, I coached on top of that. So
we're talking to Shane Qualls, former coach around this area. We'll be talking about that a little bit. And you know, just continuing on that, Shane, I interrupted you there with that because times have changed.
I mean, it's crazy.
When you were growing up in Rickman, let's say, really Livingston area, Overton County, definitely. There was a sense of freedom, and you know, we rode bikes. We stayed outside all day. Now your kids playing three sports. Number one, that's incredible nowadays. You know, I know they're a little older now, but sports are so specified now, and people tell them so much they need to play this or they need to play that or concentrate on this or concentrate on that. You know, we're really getting away from the opportunity to play multiple sports. But a place like Livingston Academy or Pickett County, or, you know, they need their athletes to play multiple sports because they don't have enough kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still important in a lot of ways. What I always ask, what's your thoughts on the multiple sports thing? I think I know already.
Yeah. I wish I had actually played basketball. I played baseball and football. I played basketball and when I was in grade school, and I didn't really like it. And so I didn't play basketball, and that was when Coach Derwood Vaughn, legend, loved him to death. And, you know, he even tried to get me to play when I got in high school. Decent athlete.
That's saying something there.
And so he kept prodding me, and I wish I had him. I really do. And, you know, Allie played softball, volleyball, basketball. She dropped softball partway through high school just because of the time constraints.
That's okay, though.
Yeah. Blake played basketball, golf, and baseball. And then Caleb played football, baseball, and basketball.
Wow.
And so, yeah. I mean, Christy needs the medal, my wife, of course, I was coaching at that time as well. And so she might as well have had a bus.
Yeah.
Just delivering.
Well, I mean, it's tough. I guess I go back to one of my favorite things to do is get on the bike and just go riding. You know, I think the games are fun. I see the attraction of the kids, but there's nothing like being with a gang of guys out in the neighborhood and riding the bikes and jumping ramps, you know, wrecking every now and then, hurting yourself. You learn from those things. And I'm a technology guy. I mean, that's what I do for a living. But I think most everything we do in life, it's about balance, and I don't know that we have that balance.
We're getting old,
yeah,
but not anything like it was.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm gonna leave that alone because I think I talk about that about every show. So let's talk a little bit. We mentioned your family a little bit, but you know, behind every coach, and I'll throw this down to a teacher, referee, you know, somebody that spends a lot of time in one or two or three things. Is a good wife. So let's segue right into your wonderful wife. Yeah. Is there working out with you about every day?
Yeah, we met at Cumberland in college, and I actually knew each other the whole time, but we didn't actually start dating until my senior year, middle of football season. And I had to go back the next year because of football and do my student teaching the next fall. And so during that time, we decided to get married. We actually got married in 95 in July, and we both got hired. I got hired at Jackson County, and she got hired in Overton County, which is weird. You know, she was the out-of-towner.
I didn't know that's where you started.
Yeah, and I started 1 year at Jackson County, but she went to Overton High School. She's part of her family's from Knoxville. Her mother worked in Nashville, okay. And so that's where she went to high school, was Overton High School. So coming from city girl, and I mean a city girl, to now full-blown country girl is, and she would never go back. She says that every
I can't wait she hears this.
Every time.
I see her at the gym. I looked up a little bit on Facebook. That's my go-to when I interview anybody, Facebook. 95, I figure that's 28 years of marriage.
28 years of marriage, and this is my 28th year of teaching, and
wow.
I did 20 of that coaching. So
y'all started all that at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about this a little bit later, but on the edge of maybe looking at retirement here fairly soon. So that we'll talk about that. That's interesting. I kind of looked at that, went through that process here the last couple of months. Interesting to figure out. We're trying to figure out something. I won't say
exactly.
That I figured them out. So let's get into. Sport, your kids you mentioned, but Caleb, Blake, and Allie are your kids, and all of them are at least in college. Mm-hmm. And which one is graduated and working now?
Caleb. He actually works at Tennessee Tech in the athletic department.
I did not know that.
He's the events and facilities coordinator.
Well, I'm sure I know him then.
And
I didn't know it was yours.
Yeah, he's married. He married J.C. Baltimore, who was another –
okay.
Kind of athlete at Livingston, and she's we're expecting a first grandbaby in
April. That's awesome. Congratulations.
A little girl named Ansley.
Get to announce that on air. Awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody congratulate this guy however you can. Let's go back a little bit to sports and growing up. When did you know growing up that you were going to be playing sports, that you were an athlete? You played football and baseball, two of the bigger sports as you were growing up. When you first got started, what was your first love?
It's football's always been. It was always, when I was young in grade school, I had some pretty famous coaches as my grade school coaches, Terry Melton, Mr. Peterman, Mr. Franklin, Bobby Gore, all those
Bobby
guys.
Bobby Gore.
Those guys all coached me when I was in elementary school, and they kind of put that bug in me, you know, that there was more to it. And of course, you and me both played at very small sizes.
Yeah.
And
oh, Lord,
stature.
Yeah.
We were tiny.
Not bad about that.
So we had to use our head a little bit, and I learned a lot there, and then through high school, and you know, it made a big difference.
I'm gonna tell you, those guys that you mentioned right there, you know, couldn't have much better folks to guide you
and mold
you as far as their character and what they believed in.
Character, work ethic, you know, being responsible, and things like that, and hopefully things I carried on when I was coaching. You know, getting kids to buy into those values.
I've watched you for a while. I definitely can say you've done that. So it's nice to be able to say something nice about them and know that they meant a little bit something to your life and to your career. And with that, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to pick up right where we left off when we get back. I'm with Shane Qualls, former coach here in the Upper Cumberland region and also referee now. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. Come right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Again, we have Shane Qualls in the studio today, and we're going to talk a little bit about coaching. But first, I want to go back to your middle school days, and you talked about really getting your first love and getting started in sports was with football. And you guys had a pretty good little development program in the junior pro there. And as time has gone on, the Outlaws, I believe, and it's pretty good little, of course, I don't know, but it seemed to be a pretty good little breeding ground, and seemed like they wanted to do it right, and you know, really bring you guys right into the middle school, and in hopes of providing what the high school needed later on. So that had to go pretty good for you for that love of the game, and then moving on into middle school.
Well, that's actually before my time. The Outlaw program that they do is, you know, really good for understanding for the kids to come in and see if they like it or not.
Right.
I mean, instead of waiting till 7th, 8th grade or even in the high school, you know, and, you know, it's not for everybody, and sometimes they do come along late. But, yeah, it was, if I'm not mistaken, they started doing that in the early 90s.
Okay.
And it helped, you know, I've had a lot of really good players. And they all played.
Well, you saw that from the coaching side.
I saw it from the coaching side, yeah. And they would come in, and by the time they had went through, you know, the junior pro program and then through the elementary program, and we had some outstanding coaches over there. You know, Terry Melton was still there for a time off and on, and then Steve Mosley came in, did a fantastic job, and we've had just a number of coaches. And the thing that, and you know as well as I do, whenever a player comes in and you evaluate their athleticism, And then you combine that with what do they know? Those kids that have got the athleticism and know a little bit have a big step up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it made a big difference.
Nice to have that feeder option. And Terry's a great example of Coach Mel. I shouldn't call him Terry. But a great example of that because he worked with the younger kids, and then he worked his way on up.
Right. Well, he would, and, or, you know, earlier I said that that group of coaches coached me when I was in the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Then I went to the high school and was with there for 3 years, and then he came back and coached me my senior year. And that was when Danny McCohen was his first-year coach, Steve Robbins was first-year coach, Dale Flatt, you know, all those guys came back to coach, and that's where they started. So they started my senior year.
Well, let's back up.
That was Danny McCohen. Yeah.
So you played for Danny McCohen.
1 year.
Man. I didn't know you had
to. Yeah, they were – he was not – he was not, you know, easy to be joke around with or cut up with. And, of course, you're talking about an NFL.
Well, he came right out of the NFL to coach in high school.
And today, you know, we're really close friends. And you know, it's one of those things where then he was old.
Yeah.
And so
he still is.
He still is. But now, and you know as well as I do, as we get older, those gaps mean less and less and less. That's Sean Loftus, who's the Jackson County football coach. My year, first year teaching, he was my quarterback.
Wow.
I coached him when he was a junior in high school.
I didn't know that.
And so, you know, you weave all that together, and then later on in life, you're just two guys.
Yeah. Same thing with my coach at Tech, Gerald Brown. He was, you know, he's kind of like Danny. You didn't cross him a whole lot, and if you did, you paid for it. But later on, when I was at Cookeville coaching and he was still at Tech, he moved across the street, bought a house across the street from where I was, and we just, I mean, became great friends to this day. I've had him on this show like three times. He does a great job. But same type of thing. But, you know, when you talk about Livingston Academy, and we're talking to Shane Qualls here today and former coach over at Livingston Academy in Jackson County and refereeing around this area too. But when you talk about Livingston Academy, you mentioned Coach Vaughn, legend, you know, a legend. I was born in Overton County, and we moved from Overton County when I was 5 years old. But my whole family, my dad, my mom's family, both come from Livingston and Overton County. And so we were up there all the time. But I was going into high school, and we ran into Coach Vaughn somewhere, one of the restaurants up there, and he came over and sat down and talked to us. You know, he's just a mild-mannered guy. Mm-hmm. Just when he sits down and starts talking, you're like, man, this guy's a classy dude and very smart. And, you know, he basically said something about coming up there and playing, you know, which I guess that's not recruiting because I wasn't in high school yet, but – recruiting really didn't exist. I seriously thought about it for a little while, and you know why? Because of him.
I mean,
playing for that guy and you know, just watching how he coaches. Now, as I've gotten older, and of course I end up going to Cookeville and playing against you guys, which was always a battle. And I, you know, now I figure out, I talked to Danny, I talked to Bruce, I talked to you, and talked about some of those locker room conversations that had with the kids about them Cookeville boys.
Yeah,
Cookeville boys. Yeah, I'm telling you what. But Coach Vaughn, one story that, you know, he doesn't get excited during games. He's always even keeled in the sound. I wish I could have been more that way. I got a little red faced sometimes and yelled a little too much. And now I look back on, I shouldn't have done it that way that much. There's time for everything. But, He never looked like he got emotional at all. And then I had McCoy over here and on the show and Matt Eldridge and a couple others. And they said, you know, hey, did you ever see him when he pulled us over to the sideline, maybe shooting foul shots, and he would put his arm around us? And I said, yeah, I saw that. And he said, Brooks, you don't want to hear what he was saying in our ear. Yeah, so not getting excited. And he said, you've never been at practice either. And apparently at practice, he was a little bit more liberating than he was any other time. I'm telling you, I was always so impressed with that guy, the way he carried himself during those games.
He's a class act. He certainly was. He had a big impact on me while I was coaching. because, as you said, I would see him out somewhere, and, you know, he would come and sit down, and we'd talk up at the restaurant or something like that, you know. And I knew all the stories, about how he was.
Sure.
he was a disciplinarian, and, you know, but there we've said all these names, and you hear about all these coaching trees and things like that. You know, I've coached with Matt Eldridge, Bruce Lamb, Danny McCohen, Dale Flatt, on and on and on and on. Coached other – there's – I don't know how many coaches that are coaching now who I coached.
You coached, yeah.
And so it's just one of those things. It's kind of like having your kids. You hope you pass on the good things, and you hope you show them that maybe, you know, you've got a couple of bad things not to do those things.
Yeah, of course.
And they learn from you.
Yeah,
and
we hope.
We hope, yeah. Same way with our kids. And so – yeah, when I went to, you know, got through high school, and, you know, you were talking about how you get to the love for the game. I can remember, and I can throw this back at you, you're a couple years older than me, I think.
I graduated in 86.
Well, I graduated in 90.
That's what I thought.
But I can remember watching the Tech games. And, of course, I knew you were from Cookeville and stuff, and I can remember watching you play at Tech and being really small.
Yeah.
And I was really small.
Mm.
And so my goal was to come to Tech and walk on at Tech.
Awesome.
And I was going to play. You know, that was what was in my head. And if it hadn't have been for James Massengill, I would probably have went to Tech.
I understand.
And went a totally different direction, but...
So let's talk a little bit more about that. We got to cut away for a break, and I want to start right back there because I got a couple things to add to that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Local Matter Sports, and I'm your host, Sam Brooks. Got Shane Qualls in the studio, and we were talking about football at Livingston Academy. And, you know, I appreciate that. I knew you were a little bit behind me. And, you know, being small in football is tough because – you're always running into, and I was tiny. I mean, I was graduating. I was about 5'9", 135, anything. I was tiny.
That's what I was.
And, you know, you always have to deal with, well, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way you can do this. And because of that, when somebody told me that, I was going to be darn certain I did whatever they told me I couldn't do. And because I got so tired of hearing that. You know, and I felt like I was as athletic as anybody. I could grab the rim with both hands, and, you know, so what does it matter if I'm 5'9", if I can jump higher than you can? So that's the way I looked at everything.
Yeah.
What was your view on growing up like that?
All through high school, almost identical. I mean, I think I graduated from high school. I was 5'9", weighed 135 pounds when I was playing as a senior.
Yeah.
And because I'd had a great career at Livingston.
Yeah.
I'd played every position on the field. You know, we went through some bad years, but then my senior year when we had all those coaches and we way overachieved and ended up going to the playoffs, and they'd only been to the playoffs once before.
Y'all were good.
And so, you know, from going from that, and then I was going to go to Tech. I was going to walk on at Tech. Done had permission to walk on at Tech. I was going to study engineering and because I'm a math guy. And so I go to Cumberland with James Massengill. He's wanting to go, and so we go visit. We go over there, and
so now were you guys in the same class? Okay,
same class.
I didn't know that.
And you know, and we'd had really good high school senior years, and Cumberland was starting a program back up, and they were recruiting us pretty good. And I was like, no, I've got my plans. And James kept on. Go with me. We'll stay a year. We'll see how it is. So we go. And we get there, and there's 135 players there, and we're like, oh, no.
Starting up, yeah.
Yeah, we're both of us are small, we're skinny, you know, we can do stuff. We're good, but, I mean, there's big-time players there.
Yeah.
So we're going through the first drills on one of the first days, and I'd been recruited pretty high as a safety, and because I'd had a lot of interceptions through my career. Well, I come back. And I'm in this drill, and our DB coach goes, Qualls, where's Qualls? And I stepped out, and I will use all the language that he used.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, I thought you were bigger. the next day.
I've never heard that before.
And I went to receiver. We went through halfway through the season. Neither one of us is playing. I got lucky. Guy went in. He got hurt. I go in, catch a touchdown on the first catch.
Oh, wow.
And
that don't happen.
From that time on, I just had it in my head. I was never going to leave the field again.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to start for the next 4 years. Well, James, who ended up being a lot better than me.
I've had him on the show.
Yeah, he was, because he was trying to get me to go home. He wasn't getting to play. He was upset. He was mad. But I kept saying, nah, let's stick it out. Let's stick it out. We might make it. And then I got my break. Well, the next year, he got his. And we both went on to go to the national championship playoffs with each other as seniors. He ended up being an All-American defensive end. We had great careers. And during that time, I realized I wanted to coach. I learned so much from Herschel Moore and Nick Kuchers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, legends.
That's a good name.
Legends. And I learned a lot from them and decided, so instead of being an engineer with a math degree, I was a high school math teacher and a coach.
We're talking to Shane Qualls, talking a little bit about football in college, Cumberland University. I want to touch back on that. Here's the thing about going with a friend or somebody you know, or, you know, really making sure you get some good friends on the team. If you don't know anybody going in, finding some good people, good character, that's going to get you to do the right things. Because every kid that goes and plays or even goes to college has to go through that. So James got you to go there, and you really didn't want to. So that ended up working good for you early.
Mm-hmm.
And then James wanted to come home, and you convinced him to stay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'll let you fill in the rest of the story, but it's a pretty good story.
I mean, he was – yeah, we were trying to – I mean, we're young. When we decided that we were going to do it and actually came to Cumberland, you know, that opened up a whole new world that – if we had went to Tech, and I'm not – Tech's a phenomenal school, but just living – we would have both lived at home.
Yeah.
We would have not gotten those experiences that we got. I mean, when you room with somebody for 4 years,
yeah.
I mean, you know, he's one of my closest
friends.
That
don't happen often either.
Yeah, we grew up together, and to get to go that far through life – learning from mistakes and learning from each other and backing each other up. And he led me and I led him.
Well, you led him into a great career. Both of you ended up having a great career. You don't room with somebody for 4 years often. You kind of grow apart, especially in that situation.
No, it was.
Which y'all did. And then, you know, I know because I had him on the show, he ends up being an All-American football player at Cumberland University and just got inducted about, I think it's been 5-6 years ago now. But both of you relied on each other and trusted each other enough to stick it out with each other, and look what happened for both of you.
Yeah, it was, well, and I'm sure a lot of people that's listening to this know James, but he was inducted into the High School Hall of Fame 2 or 3 years ago, I guess. And then this year, luckily, I was fortunate enough.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congratulations.
And who was the first guy there, had no business being there, to congratulate me the same way I had congratulated him.
Mm-hmm.
And without each other, neither one of us is probably there.
That's awesome.
It goes back to the Matt Eldridge and Danny McCoins and Bruce Lambs and those relationships that you make in those times. We were brothers, me and James. We fought just like brothers, but yet we had each other's back at all times.
Oh, yeah.
And we were always there for each other. And you know, James goes through hard times. I go through hard times. Who's the first one that is there? And that goes when you make those relationships and coaching and with players and things.
It's unique.
It's a different – people don't realize how invested you get with your coworkers – as friends and with players, you're invested in them just right there below where with your own family.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it, you know, the thing I like about doing this show, and some people I don't tell until they get here, it's about the person more than it is the team they coach or the played with or all of that. It's about what did this mean to you? And man, you stated that really well through the lens of you know, getting to go play in college, being a smaller guy, getting that opportunity, mm-hmm. making good in it, getting your education out of it, and then your life, you know, your lifelong love of teaching and coaching and all of that. Along the way, there had to be some people that were focal to you as you grew up in Livingston and then played at L.A. and then went into college. Who sticks out in your mind that really made a difference? It would be a coach, teacher, parents, you know, whatever. Who really sticks out in your mind that you'd like to bring up?
My parents, you know, my dad played football, but it was just something he did.
We better say their names because I won't get in trouble. Okay.
Charles and Faye. You know, he played football at Livingston Academy. Mm-hmm. He was a 145-pound tackle.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and he played because it was fun, and then he went home and worked on the farm.
Must have been tough as heck.
My mom, you know, she played 3-on-3, you know, and basketball and things. But they were not sports people.
Right.
And then my sister and me, all we wanted to do was play sports.
Right.
They could have very easily, like I said, living on a farm out away from everything, they could have kept us shunned away from sports, but nope. They took us to everything we wanted to do sports-wise.
Could have probably used you more on a farm,
Without a doubt. But they never held us back. They were at every game through college. When we flew to Seattle.
Wow.
For that national championship.
Amazing.
My aunt, my uncle, my mom, my dad, James's mom and dad flew on the same plane we did.
Wow.
And never missed a thing. So, you know, there was plenty of opportunities for them to have slowed me down.
Yeah.
And they never did.
Yeah. That's amazing. We didn't get into coaching a whole lot, so I'm going to have to bring you back for a part two, no doubt. But I want to end the show and ask you the question. Kids coming up today, you know, you've been through this. You've coached a lot of kids. What piece of advice would you give these kids who are motivated to, you know, and you pick any level you want to, but motivated to play something and maybe want to, you know, go on to play in college or something? What piece of advice would you give them?
To accept ownership of what they do. And what I mean by that is in society today, nobody wants to accept that they have messed up.
Blame.
It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's got to be something else that's happening. It can't be, hey, I just need to work harder.
Yeah.
They just need to take ownership of what they're trying to do, because if a person wants to be good today, it takes a lot. In the past, you didn't have these distractions.
Exactly.
Today, we have all these distractions. So, as a coach, you're so fully invested, and you think an athlete is, until it doesn't go their way.
Right.
And if athletes today could get past that, and I know that's old school, and I know—
It's not old school. I'll take it a step farther. I think if athletes' parents— would understand. I think the way we're raising kids, it lends itself to that. And sometimes I don't think it's so much the kids' fault. It is the way that they, you know, when I was in school and I got in trouble, I got in trouble with my dad. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what happened. I was wrong. And he dealt with it when I got home.
Exactly.
And now you have to deal with parents coming and say, well, why did you pick on my son for doing this or that? Well, because there needs to be a reaction to what he did.
Yeah.
You know, and so I could go down a whole tunnel.
Yeah,
that,
that's a rabbit hole.
That's a rabbit hole. Next time we'll get into that. But I want to thank you for joining me today on the show, and been a great conversation. It's went real fast. So we'll have to have you back for part two and get more into some football and I want to get into some refereeing too and really pick your brain on how that is nowadays. I think I know what I'm going to hear, but I want to talk about that some more. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank everyone out there for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Local Matters Sports.